word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
For word of mouth.
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 From New Hampshire Public Radio, this is Word of Mouth. I'm Virginia Prescott. It's 2 a.m. You're deep in your REM cycle when you're jolted awake by the sound of the fire alarm and the smell of smoke. You got to get out fast, so what do you take? As the now-contained Colorado wildfires spread, officials advise residents to take their P's, people, pets, prescriptions, and photographs. While practical, taking the P's alone would leave your childhood teddy bear, favorite thrift store belt, or well-thumbed copy of the works of Jane Austen to perish in the flames. Foster Huntington is a photographer now based on the West Coast and creator of the Burning House Tumblr. That's a place for people to submit photos and drawings of what they value most. Some of those submissions are collected in a new book called The Burning House. And Foster Huntington, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thanks for having me.
I guess all this started with someone at a dinner party asking, what would you take from a burning house? What was it about that question that really stuck with you or even inspired you to turn it into a Tumblr?
Well, the thing that kind of surprised me was that I was at a dinner party with a bunch of people that didn't really know each other that well. And as soon as I asked that question, it kind of, people opened up and started sharing stuff that, you know, they normally wouldn't have shared with people they had just met that evening.
Mm.
And also that their answers were really insightful into their lives beyond just like what you would expect. You know, like the photographer said they would take their Hasselblad, but, you know, there's also someone that worked in consulting, and they kind of said they would take this book that their grandfather gave them a year before they died. So it's kind of, there's this layer on top of what people would, their connection professionally, but then this really personal level that it's kind of really hard to get at. And kind of based on those two, I thought it'd be a really good idea to start documenting these with photos.
Yeah, we're seeing people through their precious things. It is fascinating to look at these. And I, rather than describe them, I'm going to refer our listeners to the website. You can get there by wordofmouthradio.org to see these assembled photographs. They're just fantastic compositions in many cases. And submissions came pouring in from all over the world when you set up this Tumblr blog. How did you separate those for posting from those who didn't make it?
I separated on an aesthetic level because I want it to be really pretty, but then also I kind of want to keep as many point of views on there as possible and show as many different kind of relationships with materialism. So, and I also try to keep it kind of geographically diverse.
Mm-hmm.
Not just, you know, people from New York or San Francisco or something like that.
Right, they're from all over the world. There's another sort that you had to do for the book. Now, one who did make it into the book is Brody Tours. He lives in New Hampshire. His occupation is listed as a kid. Our producer, Taylor Quimby, gave the Tours a call and spoke first to Brody's father. Let's hear.
Where did you hear about the Burning House Project?
I heard about the Burning House Project through Tumblr. I checked it out, and I thought it was really interesting and decided to submit something.
And when did your son get involved?
He got involved when he was watching me put together my items for the Burning House and was curious about what I was doing. And I explained it to him, and I showed him the Tumblr site, and he said he wanted to do one too.
Can I speak to Brody?
Yeah, you can. Hold on 1 second. Brody.
Hello?
Hi, Brody.
Hi.
Can you tell me how old you are?
7.
And where do you live?
Sugar Hill.
Sugar Hill, New Hampshire.
Mm-hmm.
I loved your picture on the Burning House book.
Thanks.
Did you know right away what you would take if your house was on fire and you were trying to run out in the middle of the night?
Yeah.
How did you know what to take?
Well, because those were my, like, favorite things, and I got, like, a new Lego set, so I wanted to take that.
And what else would you take?
I'd take my ugly doll, my Transformers, and some Bionicles. I would take my iPhone, but I forgot to put that in the picture.
Brody was 6 when he submitted those. His father, Jason, told us afterwards that the iPhone is decommissioned. But it does bring up something, Foster, an interesting point that a lot of people consider their phones and laptops among the most important possessions. Was that a generational thing?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, if I would have asked this question 30 years ago, you'd have seen a lot more of books of photo negatives and handwritten letters, but now computers really represent that connection. And cell phones are, and iPhones too. It's like how you access your friends. You know, I connect with all my friends on my iPhone. And, you know, by selecting an iPhone, it's not only like taking the physical phone, but also that, like, the portal to those people.
We're talking about the things that we value most, or at least what people say they would rescue from a burning house. Foster Huntington is the creator of the Burning House Tumblr and a new book called The Burning House. You know, this actually happened to me. I was inside my burning house. I lived in New Orleans at the time. The water heater exploded in a shed at the back of the house, engulfing the kitchen, bathroom. I happened to be packing to go on a trip to Costa Rica the next day, so I grabbed that bag and I just started loading my clothes and my CDs into my then enormous car. It was a 1960 Oldsmobile 98. I didn't take any files with account numbers or address books. It was pure survival instinct, pure emotion. And it is a little embarrassing for me that clothes came first. What do you think, Foster? Do people present what they think defines them best? You know, like when people consider putting a picture of themselves or posting something on Facebook, they think about what would reflect them in the best light?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
I mean,
go ahead.
I think that there's some kind of level of people editing their how they're presented, but I think it's also a little more kind of fundamental and personal than that. Like, you know, people bring these teddy bears that they've had since they were kids. Like, Nicholas Maggio is a photographer from L.A. that I photographed for it, and he included this teddy bear that he actually took from a burning house. So, I mean, I think that there's going to be some of that, like, posturing, but I also... There's a lot of stuff on there that is really real and kind of unexpected, and that's what I think makes the project so captivating.
It really is. And the blog has actually changed your life. You left your job in New York City, hopped in a VW van to drive around the West Coast looking for people other than your typical blog readers. Why were you looking for another population?
I just wanted to expand, because I think the conversation is pretty universal, and I think one of the best ways to get it started is by having a lot of different points of views involved with it. And by doing that, it's kind of easy to be like, oh, it's just a bunch of people on the internet doing it. But when you have people in their 80s doing it and people who are hermits doing it, it kind of paints more full of a picture.
It's interesting. I didn't see any prescriptions. maybe I missed him, but we do learn a lot about our connection to material things. I mean, so many of the things that people spend ridiculous money on, the beautiful chic toaster or the nice platters or the 50-inch TV screen, none of that. Do you think people got to reimagine their relationship to those things in doing this exercise?
That's what I hoped would happen. I mean, I can just speak for my own kind of situation, but when I started the project, I included clothes in my selection and some other stuff. And after seeing all these different points of view and talking to people that actually had their houses burned down, it kind of forced me to reevaluate what I would include. Mm.
In fact, you write that you've whittled it down to just two items. Can we ask what they are?
Yeah, I would just take my undeveloped... I mean, now it's whittled down to one. I would just take whatever undeveloped rolls of film I have with me at the time.
Was there any item that you realized people consistently forgot that might have surprised you?
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could say, you know, prescription drugs, because that's like, if you don't have those, then you might, you know, it's like life or death. But in this day and age, that stuff is so readily available.
Mm.
But not really. I mean, pretty much a lot of stuff that I can imagine is included in there.
It's quite an amazing range. And Foster Huntington, I want to thank you for collecting it for us.
Well, thank you. I've done a pretty amazing project.
It really is. Foster Huntington is curator of the Burning House Project, a Tumblr turned coffee table book that's now out in stores. And you can look at some of these fabulous photos at wordofmouthradio.org. We have a link to his Tumblr blog. Or let us know what you would like to take. We have a number of people who've already submitted things on Facebook. My hairdryer and iPad, says Anna. Cindy Pierce says, my signed Tom Brady jersey. Jonathan says, my neighbor's house. Now that's thinking. If you'd like to take a picture, we'd be sure to pass it along to Foster for the Burning House Tumblr. Coming up, the Granite State Skeptics, from homeopathic medicine to UFO sightings. We'll talk to a group that's made a homegrown hobby of dispelling myths and debunking conspiracy theories. It's when Word of Mouth continues.